Yevamos, Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Beis, 13:2. We continue on the topic of Miyun and that tragic scenario where you have a girl who's left as an orphan, as a young girl, without a husband, without a father, and without the protections that she would need. And therefore, we're going to talk about at what point she's considered to be, you know, married that would need Miyun. And when we say, the Mishnah says, Eizehu Katana, who is the girl, Shetzricha Lema'en, who is required to do Miyun? What we mean is that if we don't meet certain basic criteria regarding this rabbinic marriage, then she's not even married at all. She just does nothing. She can just run away, and there's no need even for the formality of formally rejecting him with in front of those two people to establish a rejection. So, Mishnah says, Eizi katana shetzricha lemayan, who is that girl who needs to do miyun before she can marry somebody else? Kol shesiua ima v'achia, anybody who was married off by her mother or by her brother, this above is an or, and like the Rambam says, or other, like her uncle and so on, other relatives, and according to many, even the Rama brings as a Yeshomrim herself, she can do it, but leave that aside. Ledata, with her knowledge and consent, meaning that when her mother married her off to this man, she both, A, understood what was happening, that requires a level of intelligence and sophistication and being grown up, and B, that she is agreeable to it. She consents to it. She says, yes, I want to end up being this man's wife. Without that, v'siua shelo ledata, if they married her off and either she didn't know what was happening, didn't understand it, didn't agree to it, so then, einat shrichi lema'en, then they're not married at all. If she doesn't agree, then there's no marriage, and therefore she just can run away. Or meaning, if someone else gives her kedushin and she accepts them, so then that's acceptable. She doesn't need to sort of end this first relationship before she can begin a second one, because the second relationship was not binding on her at all. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer, kol tinokes, any child, says Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, she'eino yichol lishmor kedusha, who isn't, mature enough to keep her kedushin, meaning like she's going to get something of value, right, for a kesef kedushin, like I'll call it the ring. So, if she doesn't know how to keep that ring as something special, meaning distinct from just, you know, if he gives her like some, you know, a lollipop, because I'll talk about like an egos or a te'ina, but the point is, you know, he gives her, if the ring is the ring, this is like the symbol of her marriage, she understands the significance of it. And if she's not old enough to be responsible to keep that and keep it safe, so then, ena tzricha lema'en, then she's not old enough to be married in the first place. And therefore, when she decides to marry somebody else, she can marry him directly and no need for a mi'un prior to doing that new marriage because the first marriage isn't a marriage. She's just stuck with this guy. Now, that is brought lahalacha also. And the poskim basically, the din comes out like this. A girl less than 6 years old, forget about it. She's a child. She's certainly not able to understand how to keep things and understand the consequences of keeping them. And therefore, there's no way to do this for a girl less than from six or under six. From 6 to 10, so now it's a question. There is such a thing as a girl who's responsible and mature enough to understand what's happening. And if this girl is such a girl, then she would need miyun before she marries somebody else. But that just depends on her sophistication and her maturity. After 10 years old, so we assume from 10 and up that she is mature enough to understand what's going on here. And that being the case, so if she does get married off, or marry herself off, etc., so then she is considered to be married rabbinically and would need to do miyun, the formal severing of that first relationship, before she could marry somebody else. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer holds, Ein ma'ase katana klum ela kemufuta. Rabbi Eliezer says this whole thing, you keep on calling it marriage, but it's not a marriage at all. She's a child. A child can't get married. Those things, marriage with a child. And that being the case, although it's true he's like, we'll call it marriage because we don't have a word for it, I'll call it foster care, whatever the story is, you know, good. She's like moved in with him. And the idea is, yeah, when she becomes bas mitzvah, and they're certainly married normally at, you know, the bas mitzvah age back then, commonly. So the point is, good, she becomes a bas mitzvah, then they'll be a normal husband and wife, and that's, you know, that's it'll work. But prior to that, no way, nothing doing. They're not married. And let's not kid ourselves, which means, so his words exactly are, the ma'ase katana, as a child accepting this marriage, whatever it is, it's klum, it's nothing. Ela kemufuta. Even if they had been intimate, it doesn't matter. That's like he's got a girlfriend that moved in with him. But the point is, the same way a girlfriend is not a wife and can run away and marry somebody else, so too this girl. And that would mean, according to Eliezer, that the other occult financial considerations, economic considerations of marriage, not just financial, becoming tamei if he's a kohen for her, or inheriting her, or having to go in and ransom her, and her masi there going to him, all this kind of stuff. So none of that kicks in. It's not a nisuin, not really a marriage. It's just this other kind of relationship. But the point is, it's not his wife technically, and therefore, for argument's sake, if he's a kohen, he couldn't become tamei because of her, and therefore the Mishnah gives the classic litmus test here from Eliezer, who says, Bas Yisrael Kohen, if the girl had been from a non-Kohen family, and she marries this guy, and this guy is a Kohen, Lo Socho Betruma. They're not really married. And that being the case, even though she lives in the house with him, but she cannot eat Truma, because she's not his wife. And similarly, Bas Kohen Yisrael, even like the bigger Chiddush, if she was a Bas Kohen, so it means her father was a Kohen. Father leaves her as an orphan. She quote-unquote marries this guy. This guy is not a Kohen. She's living with him. Still, she's not considered to be married to him at all, meaning she could even eat Truma. She's still part of the other household, if you will. Not a marriage. And that being the case, she could eat Truma. That's, of course, a very big Chiddush, because of what we've said in the past. But the point is, that's really a Zershita. Okay. Worth noting, the Gemara brings a Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, who says no. Rabbi Yeshua holds that it is a marriage, like in a conventional sense. I mean, it's a rabbinic marriage, not a conventional marriage, but in terms of all the rights and obligations that go along with a marriage, including becoming tamei, eating truma, and so on, all do kick in for this quote-unquote rabbinic marriage as well.